I want to lay a foundation, first of all, as we consider the idea that we can understand the Bible alike. I may be preaching to the choir in the sense of all of you already believe that, but I'd like to give some good foundation principles as to how we can accomplish this. The Bible is very clear about the fact that we ought to do that, yet when you look around at the religious world, there's not any unity at all. So we failed in our understanding or in our practice. We've not been able to do what we should have done that the Lord wants us to do. And the Bible is very clear. We'll look at a number of scriptures to lay the foundation and then talk about the things that we might do. In John 8, 31 and 32, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." This is a wonderful passage that we have as we understand that we can know the truth, and we need to understand that. Then also in Ephesians 3, Paul said, beginning verse 3, "How that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ." And so what was once a mystery in the sense that it was hidden in the mind of God, the Apostle Paul was able by revelation to make it known. So the gospel is not a mystery any longer. It's in the Bible and you can read that. And Paul said when you read you can understand that. So we should speak the same things. In Ephesians 5:17, a short passage, it says, "We do not therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." Now, I understand that exactly as he said it here, and it's a command that we understand the will of the Lord together. So it's a rebuke to all the division that is in the world today. We need to make efforts to be sure that we speak the same things. And in 1 Timothy 2, verses 3 and 4, Paul said, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." We had a good discussion this morning in class under Brother Parvin as we discussed some of these things, and it is understandable because we can come to the knowledge of the truth. He's mentioned the providence of God, and I totally agree with that, that by the providence of God, that something will be in our way if we're seeking the Lord. If we're really wanting to know the truth, you can know it. So many people have been able to read the Bible because it's one of the most printed books in the world today. And so God holds us responsible for understanding that, as we noted in Ephesians 5:17. Understand what the will of the Lord is. Now that requires my subjugation to that. I must be subject to the law of Christ. I've got to give up my pride. I've got to give up my knowledge. I've got to give up anything that stands in the way of me understanding and doing what the Bible tells me to do. Jesus warned in John 12 and verse 48, "He who rejects me does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day." We hear so much today about, "Don't judge me, don't judge me." But God is going to judge us. We're going to stand before the... You know, we're all going to be there. Every one of us is going to be at the great judgment day. We're going to hear the horn, the last trumpet sound. Every eye shall see him, and we will be there. And it's not a creed book that's going to be opened. It's not what I believe that's going to be open. It's going to be the Word of God that's going to be open. And I need to understand what's going to happen at the judgment day. Now, if I believe the Bible, if I listen to the Word of God, I'm not going to be surprised. There are going to be many surprises at the judgment day because people don't all speak the same thing. I notice when Brother Powers leads us in prayer, he always talks about us believing the same thing and coming to the same understanding. Well, that's what I'm talking about this morning. That is possible, and we ought to be able to do that because God is going to hold us accountable for preaching and teaching the same thing. And in Matthew 7:21, Jesus warned that not everyone that says unto me, "Lord, Lord," will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. And so it's not a matter of just putting my own ideas in there is what's going to take place, is doing the will of God. Now you have to ask yourself, we come to that point where you have to ask yourself, am I doing the will of the Lord? We often use the same invitation to salvation that is given in the Bible. We still hold to those truths. Jesus said in Mark 16, 15 and 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Now it comes down, have you done that? That's a question you need to ask yourself if you're trying to do the will of the Father. Have you done that? Now, denominations get in the way. They mislead a lot of people. Billy Graham misled a lot of people because he was talking about faith only. And a lot of people believed what he had to say, and they felt comfort of salvation when they didn't have it, because he never taught the true gospel plan of redemption. In Acts chapter 2, verse 38, the Bible says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, because you already have been saved. Are you with me? Doesn't say that, does it?
No.
You repent and be baptized in order to be saved, to have the remission of sins. And so many people were misled that they're baptized because they are saved, when that's not the Bible teaching. You don't find that anywhere in the Bible. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21 says, baptism doth also now save us. Now, if you want to argue about that, argue with God. That's his word. Baptism saves us. Now, that's not all by itself, understand. Because it's a matter of grace through faith on our part that we obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. But now then, it comes down to individuals asking the question, have I done what the Bible tells me to do? Have I obeyed a creed, or have I obeyed the Bible? That's what we need to understand. Well, we can understand the Bible alike. Just want to use some practical things to understand how that's possible. When you come to a stop sign, do you stop or do you ooze by? When I was a young boy, I was in the Bible class, taught with a woman. She came in late to class, and she was embarrassed. She said, I got a ticket on the way to service this morning. I didn't stop, and the policeman said, did you stop or did you ooze by? And she said, I oozed by. So she got a ticket. We understand what the stop sign means. We understand when it means one way. How many times do you hear about drunk drivers going the wrong way on the one way, and they kill people that way? And then there's the pedestrian sign, and no parking at any time. Believe me, if you see that sign and you park there, you very well may get a ticket. We understand all that. And there's another practical thing. We understand time alike. You understand what time it should be that you get here for our worship. You understand what time it is to get to work on time. And we should use the same kind of understanding with getting to the services of the Lord on time. And so as you go through life, you see all this happening with the time clock. I got sort of tickled this morning. We always set our alarm clock to get up at 6:30 on Sunday mornings. This morning, Pauline woke me up at 7. The alarm didn't go off. And I didn't set it right. So, yeah, I understand what time is, but I didn't do what I needed to do, and that we were nearly in trouble. And so we understand the same thing about money. If I came to you with a $3 bill, you'd think something's odd, and it would be. But if I came with a $10 bill and I said, I want you to swap this for me for a $100 bill, who would do that? Because you understand money. We all agree on that. You go in, you see a sign, this costs this much money, and you go in and you pay for it. We understand about money. Well, you see, if we can understand about those basic things, we ought to be able to understand about the Bible. Even understanding mathematics alive. Now, I know pi are square. But in real life, pi's are usually round. But that doesn't affect mathematics. Mathematics, we understand. We go to school. We learn the multiplication tables. We can add 2 plus 2 is 4. We'll all get that. Everybody would get that, except maybe a little boy that's in the kindergarten or something, and they don't know how to do their tables yet. But you see, I've talked about what the Bible says. God expects this. He commands us that we speak the same thing. Then I talk about other areas where we do teach the same thing. And Jesus warned those that he was talking to, you're mistaken, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. And this was concerning the resurrection. And they should have known, because Jesus went on in Matthew 22 to say that he was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's the God of the living, not the dead. But they were all dead. Therefore, they should have been able to reach the conclusion, and the Bible requires that we do that. We come to the conclusion that God is the God of the living, there will be a resurrection. You see, we can't deny that because that's what the Bible says. And then the Apostle Paul, who was looking at the Corinthian church that was divided. Now, I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. Now, folks, he was correcting the Corinthian church because they didn't do that. There was jealousy in the church, and they were mixed up on various things. But he wrote that to make them understand how wrong they were and how to be right. And so we have to have the same mind, and we have to have the same judgment. When you understand these things, then we'll be able to understand what the Bible says. In Ephesians 4, as he was giving the different gifts of the Spirit, he said these would last till we all come to the unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. I love that phrase in Ephesians 4. We come to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We'll never be fully like Christ, but we press on to be as close to him as we can. And there is a unity of the faith. In fact, in Ephesians 4 says there's one faith. One faith. That's not the way the world looks at it today at all. So we have to have that problem. Now, we understand the Bible alike. If we understand the Bible at all, we'll understand it alike. If we differ on its meaning, we can't both be right. Now, would you agree to that? If we differ on something in the Bible, one who holds to the Bible and I can't be right, we might both be wrong, but we both cannot be right. Now, that's something that's the red flags come on when we hear that, because we have to look to have the same mind about these things. Then, further, we approach the Bible with the belief that it can be understood. That's, we're laying down the essential elements now of this unity of the faith. You have to believe that it can be understood. Words have meaning. And the Bible was not written in some language that's totally spiritual. It was written in what was called the Koine Greek, or the common Greek of the day. Everybody could read the Greek language. So it was in a language people understood. Now, this has been translated into the English, and it is correct in the translation. And so I can have the belief that, yes, I can understand that. And we approach the Bible with a dose of common sense. I think that doesn't grow in most people's garden today. But we need common sense to understand that words have meaning. And I can understand what the Bible says. I shouldn't have the attitude, well, you believe it your way and I believe it my way. That's not what the Bible teaches at all, as we've already noticed. Get rid of preconceived ideas and doctrines and agendas. Allow the Bible to speak for itself. We talk about multicolored glasses. You put on the glasses of a Baptist and you're going to believe in faith only, because that's what their creed says. If you put on the Catholic glasses, you're going to believe what the priest says, because you're not supposed to understand the Bible as a layman. Only the priest can understand it. And so they don't tell you to read the Bible. They believe that's for the priest. And you do what the priest tells you to do. So see, we can't agree on that. And it's not common sense. So we have to get rid of these preconceived ideas and say, I want to come to the Bible, Let the Bible speak, and let the Bible tell me what God's will is. That's the attitude we need to have. Be honest in the way you approach the Bible. Divide it rightly, 2 Timothy 2:15. Don't play games with the Bible. People say, well, you see it the way you want to, and I'll see it the way I want to. Well, that's not unity. And it's not at all what we ought to believe. So handle it correctly. There was a king in the Old Testament that didn't like the writings of Jeremiah. And so he was sitting by the fire in the winter house, and he saw the writings of Jeremiah, and the Bible says he took a penknife. He cut out what he didn't like. Well, that didn't change God's Word. You might tear a page out of this Bible, but that doesn't change the Word of God. It's eternal. And so we need to be honest with the way we handle that. Take everything the Bible says on the subject. How many times have I read that John 3:16 tells you how to be saved? God sent His Son that we might believe. Well, yes, but that's not all the Bible says on the subject. The Bible also says, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. And also says that Luke 13:3, unless ye repent, will all in like manner perish. So you see, there's more than one thing to salvation. And somebody says, well, I want a verse that tells me everything. Well, you may not find a verse that tells you everything, but it's there. And if you can find it, you can understand it and do what the Bible says. So the Bible says we must believe, and faith comes by hearing the Word of God, that we have to repent of our sins, which is a change of mind and a change of life. Then we have to confess the name of Christ, Romans chapter 10. Confession is with the mouth. And then I'm baptized for the remission of sins. That's the plan of salvation. And it's there for everybody to read. Now, if I doubt that, well, just go to the book of Acts. And you'll see exactly that being preached. And you see thousands of people in crowds or individually obeying the gospel. There were 3,000 on the day of Pentecost that understood. And they were baptized on that occasion. I've often thought how I'd love to have been standing by and just watching all those people being baptized. Because they understood. They had the same mind. They were doing the same thing. And so you see through the book of Acts, the 3,000. Then you see even Saul, the persecutor. Saul was on his way to Damascus to persecute Christians, and the Lord appeared to him. Well, what did the Lord tell him to do? He didn't send the Holy Spirit to tell him what to do. He said, go into the city, it will there be told you what to do. And the Lord sent Ananias to him. And Ananias said, Saul, why are you tarrying? Arise, be baptized, and wash away your sins. So your sins are not washed away until after you're baptized. Now, I can understand that, because that's what the book really says. And I need to take all that the Bible says on that. Then keep verses in their context. What is the subject of the passage? Who is speaking? Who's being spoken unto? See, this brings up people who still want to live under the law of Moses. They're called Sabbatarians. They want the Ten Commandments to still be in force. But the book of Galatians tells us that if you try to keep the law, you're bound to keep all the law. And if you keep all the law, you're fallen from grace. So you can be lost. The idea is that you've got to understand who is speaking to. Now, the book of Hebrews, we're talking in Sunday morning class, was talking to Christians who were giving up their faith and going back to the Jewish way. And that whole book was being read or taught to them so that they could come back to the Christ who died for them. See, you understand the context. You understand who's speaking. You understand what's being said and those things. Then recognize the different types of language in the Bible. What do you mean, different kinds of language? Well, there's figurative language. People really mess up when they come to the book of Revelation because they don't understand it's supposed to be figurative. But you see, even Jesus used figurative language when he said, "Go tell Herod that fox." Well, he wasn't a fox with a bushy tail, but he was sly. And the Lord used that to understand that they need to understand that Herod's a sly fox. And you see, you look at those things, and you really couldn't understand it without knowing there's figurative language. For example, Jesus told Nicodemus in John chapter 3 that he had to be born again. And, oh, that gave him problems. How can I enter my mother's womb and be born again? And Jesus wasn't talking about that. He was talking about a new birth. Well, how do I know what the new birth is? The Bible explains that. You go to Romans chapter 6, and the new birth is being baptized into Christ. Just as Jesus died on the cross, was buried, and rose again, we're baptized upon the death to sin when we repent, baptized and go be buried with the Lord in baptism to rise in newness of life. You see, that just makes so much sense. That's the gospel story. Now, each of you should look at yourself and ask, have I done what the Bible says me to do? I can understand that. And so, allow the plain passages to explain the difficult passages. I've just done that with John 3 and Romans 6. Because it is a difficult thing. People say, oh, I've been born again. And they don't even know what it means. It's some kind of subjective feeling. Oh, I just feel good. Well, that doesn't necessarily mean you've been born again. What does it mean to be born again? So you go to Romans chapter 6 and you find out what it means to be born again. It's to be baptized. If you haven't been baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins, you haven't been born again. People need to understand that to understand the Bible. And so take time to think about what you've read. Yes, turn off the television sometimes. Just turn it off. Get your Bible off the shelf. Read some passages and meditate. Think about what the Bible is saying. Give it time to soak in and to associate with other passages. Do that. Develop a love for the truth. Oh, how I love thy word, David said. How I love thy word. And he really understood that the word of God was coming through him. He wrote the Psalms. He loved it. And somebody says, well, I just don't have time to read the Bible. I've got to watch television and I've got to do the yard and I have to work late. I come in, I'm tired. And I just don't have time to read the Bible. Then you're missing out on the most important thing in your life, how to go to heaven. And as a friend of mine said in his sermons, if you miss heaven, you've missed all there is. Take the time to read your Bible. On the front row, we have some Bible reading schedules where you can follow that and read the Bible all the way through in 1 year. We encourage people to do that because it will develop a love for the truth. And I've had people tell me when I read the Bible through, it just clears everything up. I understand how it goes together, and that's the way it ought to be. So I'll leave it with you this morning, because we've looked at the Scriptures where we are taught that we shall know the truth and that we are to understand the will of the Lord, Ephesians 5 and verse 17. And so we look at that, and we should be able to understand what the Bible teaches.